In today's news headlines, two associates of Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, have been arrested and charged with campaign finance violations in the latest chapter of the impeachment-related investigations roiling Washington, D.C. The two Russian-born businessmen from Florida, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, are charged with funneling Russian money into Trump's election campaign and are also implicated in helping Mr. Giuliani with investigating Trump's political rival Joe Biden's ties to Ukraine. The Wall Street Journal, which broke the story on Thursday morning, explained that, quote, both men have donated to Republican campaigns, including Mr. Trump's, and in May 2018 gave $325,000 to the primary pro-Trump super PAC America First Action through an LLC called Global Energy Producers, according to Federal Election Commission records. Additionally, Messrs. Parnas and Fruman had dinner with the president in early May 2018, according to since-deleted Facebook posts captured in a report published by the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project. They also met with the president's son, Donald Trump Jr., later that month at a fundraising breakfast in Beverly Hills, California, along with Tommy Hicks Jr., a close friend of the younger Mr. Trump, who at the time was heading America First Action. Mr. Parnas posted a photo of their breakfast 4 days after his LLC donated to the super PAC. A group called Campaign Legal Center had apparently urged the FEC last July to investigate Parnas and Fruman. In other news, Bloomberg reported that in 2017, Trump himself tried to use his position to demand a favor for one of Giuliani's clients through then-Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Specifically, Trump pressured Tillerson to, quote, persuade the Justice Department to drop a criminal case against an Iranian-Turkish gold trader who was a client of Rudy Giuliani, according to three people familiar with a 2017 meeting in the Oval Office. Tillerson refused, arguing it would constitute interference in an ongoing investigation of the trader, Reza Zarab, according to the people. They said other participants in the Oval Office were shocked by the request. Bloomberg opined that the 2017 episode bears the hallmarks of Trump's approach to the Ukraine call. In other news, Fox News conducted a new poll spelling more bad news for President Trump.
We have just released Fox News polls on what voters think about impeachment. 51% of those responding say the president should be impeached and removed from office.
The Fox News poll results show 2 percentage points higher support for Trump's impeachment and removal from office than a poll done just days earlier by the Washington Post. The new poll also found that 51% of voters think the Trump administration is more corrupt than previous administrations, up from 46% last month. Trump fretted on Twitter about the poll results from his favorite news network, saying, quote, whoever their pollster is, they suck. In remarks to reporters at the White House, Trump said on Wednesday that, quote, if the rules are fair and if Republicans get a fair shake, he would cooperate with the Democrat-led impeachment inquiry. Just a day earlier, White House counsel Pat Cipollone sent an 8-page letter to lawmakers putting them on notice that the White House would not cooperate in the inquiry. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, in a speech this week, came out explicitly in favor of impeachment.
With his words and his actions, President Trump has indicted himself by obstructing justice, refusing to comply with the congressional inquiry. He's already convicted himself. In full view of the world and the American people, Donald Trump has violated his oath of office, betrayed this nation, and committed impeachable acts.
That's former Vice President and presidential candidate Joe Biden. In other impeachment-related news, Vice President Mike Pence has said he is working to release transcripts of his phone calls with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. And Zelensky himself has been speaking out on the controversial phone call he had with Trump, saying that the U.S. president did not blackmail him and that he was not Trump's puppet. Trump heads to Minneapolis, Minnesota on Thursday for a political rally where thousands are expected to protest him. Many Minneapolis residents are angered by Trump's constant racist attacks against their House Representative Ilhan Omar. Trump has also been locked in a battle with the city's mayor, Jacob Frey, over the cost of security for his campaign event. Trump has refused to reimburse municipalities for security expenses for his events. The 21-year-old white male Texas shooter who is charged in the massacre of 22 people at a Walmart store in El Paso is facing a trial judge this week for the first time since he was arrested. According to Associated Press, local prosecutors have said they will seek the death penalty. Federal authorities are weighing capital murder and hate crime charges. The Department of Justice has called the shooting an act of domestic terrorism. And a white man in Florida has just been sentenced to 20 years in prison for his 2018 conviction in the killing of a young black man named Marquise McLaughlin. The convict had been charged with manslaughter over his shooting of the unarmed McLaughlin after confronting him over a parking spot. He attempted to use Florida's controversial Stand Your Ground laws in his defense. In California, the embattled utilities company PG&E has continued its power shutoff aimed at preventing wind-driven wildfires from its faulty power lines. More than 1 million Californians have been without power for more than 24 hours. Some Californians may be affected for up to 5 days. A new report found that the outage could cost the state's economy more than $2 billion. Also in news from California, about 600 former staffers with the Federal Environmental Protection Agency are demanding an investigation into the Trump EPA's recent threats to cut off funding to California. In international news, a Turkish offensive on northern Syria that President Trump helped to unleash is continuing into its second day, taking aim at Kurdish fighters that defeated the Islamic State. Some reports say that so far 16 fighters were killed and 4 civilians, including an infant. But Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan announced that his forces killed 109, quote, terrorists. In remarks to reporters on Wednesday, President Trump continued to try to justify his abandonment of the U.S.'s Kurdish allies, making a bizarre claim about how the Kurds did not help the U.S. during World War II.
They didn't help us in the Second World War. They didn't help us with Normandy, as an example. They mentioned names of different battles. They were there, but they're there to help us with their land. And that's a different thing.
That's Trump on Wednesday trying to justify why his administration has abandoned Kurdish fighters in northern Syria as Turkish forces immediately moved in and began bombing. And finally, German authorities on Thursday released more information about a man who attacked a synagogue a day earlier, killing 2 people. The 27-year-old perpetrator is apparently a right-wing anti-Semitic extremist who live-streamed his attack in the hopes that copycat anti-Semites might follow his lead and commit similar crimes. He is being identified only as Stefan B. In a manifesto that he apparently wrote, he said his aim was to, quote, kill as many anti-whites as possible, Jews preferred. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said in a speech, "We only narrowly avoided a terrible attack on those inside the synagogue. It could have ended much worse." Many have blamed Germany's far-right Alternative for Germany party for fueling hate. And that does it for our news headlines today.